Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. This past week, UBS announced a global first, making sustainable investments the preferred recommendation for clients of its $2.6 trillion global wealth management business. UBS is the first major financial institution to recommend SI over traditional investments for private clients globally. Managing approximately half a trillion US dollars in core sustainable assets, this reinforces UBS's close to 25-year track record in sustainable investing across all its business divisions. Today on the programme for more, we'll be hearing from the chair of UBS's Sustainable Finance Committee and from the head of Sustainable and Impact Investing at UBS Global Wealth Management. Let's start the programme with the former, Hugh Van Steenis, who's also senior advisor to the CEO of UBS. Hugh, thanks for being on the programme. It's good to talk to you again. So, yes, a real global first for UBS this week. Tell us more about the exciting news.
This week, UBS has made sustainable investments its preferred solution for clients in its wealth management business. Look, I think this is a really exciting opportunity and marks a key development for the mainstream of sustainable investing. For us, it's a real priority to offer our clients choice, and we want to make sure that we bring our investment skill and advice to help clients take advantage of both new opportunities as the economy transforms, but also manage 21st century risks in a really smart way. And so putting the sustainable mandate as a kind of default option is one way for us to embed that in our organization.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about that process in a moment, Hugh, but can you give us a bit of a sense, even just in broad brushstrokes, about how the recent performance of various sort of sustainable indices measure up against their traditional equivalents? Because I guess one of the important things to take away here is that this doesn't have to be a question of, you know, doing good or doing well. In many cases, you can check both those boxes.
Yeah, I think that's right. So, look, I think the last 6 months, the performance is really too short a period to sort of measure to weigh up whether a strategy is working or not. But it's been very striking that some of the sustainable indices have outperformed. I mean, certainly in the first quarter, 24 of the top 26 ESG indices outperformed their nearest peers. Now, some of that, of course, might be overweight oil and gas stocks, which have been found a very challenging year this year, given it's been the biggest hit to the energy complex for the last 70 years. But we also think that some of this is by having an additional lens on investment problems, you can make a smarter or better risk-adjusted investment. And so it has been very striking that funds which incorporate ESG factors have proven quite resilient. And I think that is likely to drive more interest from investors.
Well, I guess the follow-up question on that, Hugh, is that clearly it's very exciting, the opportunities here. What about durability, though? And I know, as you said, it's a bit hard to read anything too much into just recent data. But more broadly, is that still a question that you're often asked? Are clients interested in that question about, you know, how will these changes endure in the months and indeed in the years ahead?
Well, look, I think the pandemic has really shone a spotlight on a huge number of changes which are going on in society and probably have just brought them to the fore. And I think the pandemic has sharpened the financial world's understanding that climate change, like the pandemic, could be a profound issue for the financial system. And so, you know, where we are from, we're thinking that these are investment risks which investors need to weigh up in a long-term portfolio. And so our research thesis here is that it's going to have an impact not only on asset allocation, but on the way that people price stocks and bonds, and also think about what they want to own. And I think that the issue about whether it's governance issues, whether it's societal issues, or whether it's climate change issues, have had real impacts on the way bonds and equities have performed this year. And so what we want to do as savvy investors is make sure that we're ahead of that game and analyzing these signals in a very thoughtful manner. So for us, this is very much embedding an extra set of risks in our day-to-day business about how we think about investing.
Well, to that point, Hugh, about the embedding of those kinds of processes, UBS has an amazing track record, 25-year or more in SI, across all of its business divisions, in fact. Can you put the announcement this week into that sort of historical context and tell us more? It was interesting, you mentioned this idea of mainstreaming right at the top. How does this fit into that sort of historical picture over, a quarter of a century now?
Yeah, well, look, you know, so sustainable finance is really a firm-wide priority for UBS. And what we're trying to do, whether it's in the wealth management division, thinking about how we help investors and save for the future and protect their investments, whether it's helping corporates think about how they come to market and issue and invest, or whether it's helping other institutions, we're really trying to bring to bear the skills and investment nous that the organization's got to the benefit of our clients. And so we, across the entire firm, this is a real priority for us to weave into our day-to-day business. As I said, you know, this year is one where this has paid off because these factors have really influenced the way the stock market has rewarded or disadvantaged companies.
Hugh, just if I guess almost on a sort of personal note, this journey of sustainable investing into the mainstream, I know that's been a fascination of yours for a long time, going back through what your time at the Bank of England and before that indeed, looking at the UBS announcement through that prism and your own sort of personal passion for this area. Where are we at now? Is it sort of an inflection point? I think I've asked you this question before, or do you think it's something more substantial than that?
Well, I think really, so I do think that 2020 is proving to be a pivotal year. Obviously, the pandemic has created a huge shock and a misery for many people across society, but it's also accelerated a number of trends which are in the market. Now, one of which is clearly all of our use of digital tools has accelerated. You know, for instance, you know, the shift towards a cash-light society may have accelerated 2 to 4 years as a result of the pandemic. But we're also seeing this acceleration come through in the way people think about green investing and sustainable investing more broadly. And I think the pandemic has accelerated the underlying shifts. And so I think this is obviously for us, this is really a paradigm shift in the financial system. If I give you one example, how we think about climate change. In the last 12 months, of three of the major providers of stock market indices have actually bought boutiques who track climate change. Now, these big index firms would not have done that if they didn't think this was a major shift in society. So I think there's many different signals, and we're delighted at UBS to sort of be ensuring that we're offering our clients choice and trying to be, you know, first to market.
Hugh, just finally, one last question. That acceleration you've described there of other, you know, secular themes that we've been tracking in recent years, corollary benefits, addressing things like climate change, which are understandably very much in the forefront of people's minds. Despite all of those things, some, I guess, stakeholders here maybe are still dragging their feet or being a bit slow to move. Is that an issue? Or do you think actually that even some of those stragglers, if you like, are going to get carried on the sort of wave that you've been describing?
Look, you know, progress always takes time, doesn't it? And so I think that I look at this journey sort of glass half full. Take, for instance, climate change and the impact on society is clearly a multi-decade process. This is not something in the next year. And so many companies are now starting to disclose in their financial reports, you know, what are their emissions and what are their targets for future reductions in emissions. Over 1,000 companies now report on a standard called TCFD around their climate footprint. And that number just continues to grow year in, year out. So I think that there are grounds for real optimism. And of course, as investors, the better the data, the more we can make good, well-informed decisions. And so we're really excited that progress in measurement and targets will also help make sure that we can, you know, keep on our toes and be good investors for our clients.
Hugh Van Steenis. Next up, let's turn to Andrew Lee, Head of Sustainable and Impact Investing at UBS Global Wealth Management. Andrew, good to hear from you on the show once again. Andrew, does this speak, I wonder, to a broader shift away from this situation that perhaps we've spoken about before, where investors focus primarily on sustainable outcomes or financial returns? And, you know, there's rather this sort of binary choice. Is this a sign that those days are over?
So from an investment perspective, we really don't look at it as a trade-off between financial returns and sustainability outcomes. Rather, what investors focus on are really the different types of sustainability or impact objectives that they can achieve with different investments across their portfolio, and how do they fit together in a diversified portfolio in a way that contributes to both financial returns and differing ways to address sustainability outcomes. You know, and we think that investors who are focused exclusively on returns actually do need to take sustainability considerations into account if they are focused on the long term and mitigating risk as well as capturing upside opportunities. So whether you're focused on investments or whether you're focused more broadly on investments that incorporate an understanding of sustainability and impact, we think that sustainability is increasingly important for investors to take into account. And that's what the trend that we've seen over the last number of years. And I think COVID has in particular accelerated that. So we do have to recognize that not every sustainability outcome is necessarily addressable with market rate capital. Some of them need blended structures, and some of them certainly do need public capital. But from an investment perspective, you know, I think what you asked is, no, I think we're seeing a convergence between the understanding of how you achieve financial returns and account for sustainability in a way that supports those financial returns. So the future, you know, that we see of investing, and I think that much of the asset management industry has already moved there, is understanding how to incorporate those material sustainability considerations in the management of investments for financial return.
Well, Andrew, it's interesting. I was reading through a piece, some research that you were a co-author of recently, looking at exactly this theme. And it sort of makes the point that there may still be some people who are still slightly sort of sitting on the fence on this issue, but there are sort of three key reasons, three pillars, if you like, that are driving the change. And you've alluded already to the influence, of course, of the pandemic in recent months. So there's a timing factor. But there's also, you know, just the ESG topics that are at heart here. There's this question of going, you know, beyond returns. Could you just briefly talk to us about this sort of powerful triumvirate, if you like, of reasons that are really driving the change?
Absolutely. So I think what we've been talking about is, you know, one of those is that sustainability topics actually matter for investors, right? And so, you know, within this first pillar, if you will, if you look at all of the incidents that we've seen over the last number of years, where it's very clear that there's a connection between sustainability topics and, you know, either the broad economy or financial returns, it's very clear that investors need to take these considerations into account, right? So significant price drops in companies as a result of things like human rights scandals, right? Or the fact that instead of risk, when you look at the opportunity set, the fact that 30% of the EU's economic recovery budget will be allocated to climate-related investments. So investors need to think about these issues when managing for risk and opportunity. And I think the backdrop that you referenced, not only the pandemic, but also the things that we see going on in broad society and the focus on a lot of the social issues out there, in addition to environment and otherwise, really means that there is an emphasis from investors, consumers, governments on sustainability. And further, the regulatory discussion really is a backdrop that suggests that ESG topics matter. So I think that's the first thing is sustainability topics matter. The second pillar is really why the timing now. You referenced the pandemic, certainly, but I think all of the things that we see ahead suggest that climate and social considerations are going to be particularly important for investors on a go-forward basis. And so for investors thinking about how to capture that systematically in portfolios, whether it's thinking about the recovery spending that's coming from the EU that I mentioned before, close to $600 billion in aggregate across the world's top economies, or whether it's the move increasingly from institutional and individual investors into sustainable investing assets, the flows, the societal emphasis, and what the emphasis will be on economic spending going forward all support the fact that investors should want to get ahead of that curve. And then the third thing that we see is really that investors are looking to have their investment capital provide something in addition to returns. And whether that's something experiential or whether it's really just greater transparency into understanding the positive and negative impact of their investments, investors are expecting more from their investment capital. And so sustainable investing really helps to provide that by forcing transparency from underlying investments and really looking to be managed ultimately in a way that benefits from a financial perspective and also from a broader societal and environmental perspective. So thinking about these three things, we think are real motivators for investors who are thinking about how their capital and how they want to deploy their capital on a go-forward basis to anticipate a changing environment.
Andrew, one thing that I find interesting is people often talk about some of the themes around sustainable investing as being sort of innately or inherently political in character. And I know that you and your colleagues are at pains to point out that there's been a very deliberate approach to be absolutely the opposite, to be explicitly apolitical about this and say, look, you know, this is some recommendations people can buy in if they want. They, of course, they don't have to, literally or metaphorically. Is it important that that's underscored, this point that it's not a political conversation we're having here?
I think that's incredibly important. It is not a political conversation. It is about thinking about investment returns on a go-forward basis and understanding what are the factors that are actually material, both from a downside protection perspective as well as an upside capture perspective. And that is certainly done on an industry basis, industry-specific basis. It's done on a company-specific basis. But understanding what the factors are that affect regular way investment analysis and portfolio construction. This is at the heart of ESG integration and ensuring that these factors are taken into consideration by all investment managers, frankly, because this is a more holistic way to account for the risks and opportunities ahead.
Andrew, perhaps just finally, look, we were hearing from Hugh a little earlier about the fact that, you know, SI can outperform traditional investments, and indeed by on a number of metrics it has done in recent months. There's all these other corollary benefits, many of which you've already alluded to or mentioned explicitly. And yet still one senses there are maybe some people or sectors or stakeholders dragging their feet somewhat. Do you think that more change is needed, or do you feel that with the pandemic, with those three pillars you've already described, that we are very much, it's not even an inflection point, you know, the needle has completely shifted on this now. Do you think that that's an interesting question to ask? Is there still more movement needed?
I do think that the needle has shifted pretty materially. You see a vast majority of institutional investors recognizing that sustainability is important to investments and incorporating that into a core part of their strategy. You see a majority of individual investors agreeing, at least in surveys, that sustainable investments are here to stay, will be increasingly important, and that their intent to allocate is higher over the next 5 years. And I think it's a comfort level. It's an understanding and a recognition of what are the factors that perhaps one might have seen in the past as being separate from investments. But now, with all of these instances that we've seen in recent years, whether it's climate or social, having an actual impact on both the way that we live our lives, as well as the way that the economy is affected, and certainly corporate financial performance and markets, I think that recognition is accelerating. It certainly has done so in the course of the pandemic. And what we see it reflected very clearly in flows into sustainable investments across the industry, but also on our platform, very much reflects that recognition is accelerating. So I think it's people's comfort level, and it's their recognition that these are factors that are important for their investments and that they want to actively incorporate into the way that they invest or the way that their advisors and fund managers invest. So I think the impetus is there. I think the momentum is there. And I think that people just have to get comfortable with the fact that this actually reflects the things that they consider to be important and want it reflected in their investments. This is sustainable investing solutions end up being a way to do so more systematically.
And that's Andrew Lee, bringing us to the end of this edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. You can listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.